This is Jay Sekulow, a terrorist attack on Bastille Day in France. 84 dead.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Terror strikes France once again. A truck mowing down people for a mile and a half in the middle of a Bastille Day celebration. The 31-year-old driver accelerating as he went through that crowd.
If indeed grenades were found in the back of this truck, it suggests there was some sort of organizational connection where you're into a smuggling network, or even, as I've been saying, you know, bringing this stuff in from Libya, which has worried the French for a long time. All the refugees being smuggled in, it'd be very easy to bring in military weaponry into France, Italy, and the rest of Europe.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
From an international standpoint, we have not established an international set of strategic objectives to go after this very vicious, barbaric enemy. They have declared war on us. This is a world war. This is a world war. It's not like it was in the history books of World War II. It may not feel like that, like tanks on the desert and planes and ships at sea. But this is a world war. They've declared war on us.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
84 dead, including 2 Americans and 10 children. The terrorist drove for over 1 mile down the streets in a major intersection in Nice, France. The tower was plowed with explosives and weapons-laden truck, although there are reports that some of those explosives were actually decoys. How did he get through the checkpoints in Nice, which is a big tourist area? He said he was delivering ice cream for the festivities. His name is Mohamed Bouel. He was born in Tunisia, nationalized in France several years ago. This is not the first time that vehicles have been utilized by terrorist organizations. This has happened in Israel on multiple occasions. But in 2006, here in the United States, the University of North Carolina, Mohamed Tariz Azir, he utilized a truck to cause havoc. Omed Popel in California in 2006 used an SUV, 2007 Glasgow, Scotland, 2008 in Jerusalem. They also utilized bulldozers in Jerusalem in 2009 attack on the Dutch royal family in the Netherlands. 2011 vehicles were utilized in a nightclub. ISIS has said in their magazines, as has Al-Qaeda, utilize those type of instruments. And they actually, it seems in one sense not sophisticated, but in another sense is very sophisticated, because without an explosive, there are at least 84 people, including 10 kids, dead in France by utilizing a truck. Now, Jordan, we've seen this actually in Israel. This is an old technique of the terrorists.
Yes, but to have a truck of this size, so you've got to have, again, the resources to rent that vehicle under the radar, not be labeled as someone suspicious. These continued in London in 2013 and 2014, again in Jerusalem, and in 2014 in Canada, a couple more in Jerusalem in 2014. And then it's been done in France before to some extent in Dijon, in Nantes in 2014, and then, of course, Nice yesterday on Bastille Day. So as the people are celebrating, this is the French Riviera, a beautiful part of France, on the coastline as the fireworks displays are ongoing for their Independence Day. And then this attack, which you've had not just French, but Americans and many others from around the world, including children.
The spokesman for ISIS, Abu Muhammad al-Aldini, in 2014 said this: if you're not able to find an IED or a bullet, then single out the disbelieving Americans, Frenchmen, or any of their allies. Smash their heads with rocks or slaughter them with a knife or run them over with your car or throw them down a high place or choke them or poison them. This is a world war. We have engaged and entered into World War III. It's time the world recognize it. Our own administration clearly is not. Will the French now recognize it? We're going to talk about that at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Not surprisingly, Donald Trump confirmed that Mike Pence is, in fact, his nominee for VP. There'll be a formal announcement tomorrow. We'll have more on that on Monday, but we're talking about this other and multiple ways to engage, and Logan's been monitoring this the entire time.
That's right. I've been monitoring this entire hour. We're going to have breaking news and coverage coming up, but you can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Broadcasting during the breaks on Facebook and Periscope.
Okay.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Horrible situation in Nice, France. We're in World War III. That's what I'm calling it because that's what it is. We've got multiple countries being attacked by multiple entities from different countries. They've got territory in Syria and Iraq. 84 dead, two Americans included, 10 kids. You saw the carnage on TV. It was breathtaking in scope. The reality is that the reaction that's coming out, we'll get into some of the politics in the second half of the broadcast, but I think this does show, Jordan, and then we'll get Wes and Skip into this conversation, that the fact of the matter is, this is a global war. We need to treat it like a global war and stop acting like this is a police action. It's not.
No, it's absolutely not. I mean, this takes a military response. It takes military-type security at these large events. I mean, what's shocking here is that this was not a random night in France with a concert or an event, but this is Bastille Day. This is their Independence Day. Like our July 4th celebrations, yep. You expect maximum security in the places that will have the largest amounts of people, yep, and crowds, like a promenade on a waterfront in the south of France, yep, on the French Riviera. Lots of tourists, lots of people from around France. Children are out, and you would expect that this would be some of the most high-security events. And reports I've heard, for instance, for the Euro Cup final, for, yep, the soccer tournament final, just to watch go into the fan zone was more difficult last week in France playing in that final. That was more difficult than going to the festivities last night. Now, there is a scope issue.
Yep.
It's one thing to go into a fan zone that's, yep, monitored, and another when you have citywide fireworks.
Absolutely.
And celebrations.
Tougher. But the guy said, the terrorist said he was delivering ice cream and nobody checked. We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. How do you think this impacts the election? What do you think the response in the United States should be? Do you agree we're in a world war here? 1-800-684-3110. Robert is on the phone with us. He's calling out of Maryland. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jay?
Good.
I wanted to ask you a question. In light of the newest terrorist attack, yep, over in France, and also coupled with the other terrorist attacks in, yep, Chattanooga, Tennessee, yep, San Bernardino, California, Boston, Massachusetts, Garland, Texas, and Orlando, Florida,
yep,
what from a military and intelligence standpoint does the United States need to be doing in order to tackle these problems to defeat this enemy? And I want to couple it with this question also. What does specifically the National Security Agency need to be doing in order to help tackle this problem with being able to deal with the civil liberties issues, which,
sure,
I always know comes up in light of these debates. Can you explain the difference between the laws of war in relationship to civil liberty issues in relationship,
yep,
to civilian law enforcement situations?
I think those are great questions. Let me say this. We have a listing of the jihadist attacks since Charlie Hebdo. In January in 2015, it was the Hebdo attack. February in 2015, the Copenhagen attacks. April of 2015, the Kenya attacks, killing 148 people, mostly students, Christians, killed at a university. May 3rd, the Garland attack, 2 dead, 1 injured. June 26th in France, there was another attack, the beheading of the factory. Chattanooga followed that up a month later. Next month in August in France, a shooting and stabbing, the train revealing traveling from Amsterdam to Paris. Remember that one? November in Paris, the big attacks there, 137 killed. December, San Bernardino. March 22nd, Brussels, Belgium of 2016. June 12th, 2016, Orlando, Florida, 49 killed. June 28th, Istanbul in Turkey. July 1st, Bangladesh, 20 killed. July 14th in Nice, France, 84 killed. We are joined by Skip Ash and our who's a national security law head of our national security law group and our military law group. So let's and also Wes Smith, who is our senior military advisor. But Skip, let's go to Robert's question, and that is the military law here. First of all, I'm saying now we're engaged in a world war. We haven't called it a war yet, but we're engaged in a world war.
Right. You don't have to declare a war to be in a war.
Right.
They have already brought the war to us. So we are actually the recipient of a war. So we are in a war. The problem we have, and there are certain steps we need to take, which we have failed to take so far. One is to recognize who the enemy is. Then what we need to do is to establish a clear mission. What do you hope to accomplish? What if you're going to apply force, what do you hope to accomplish? Then you need to apply. Once that's decided,
right,
you need to apply the resources necessary to do it, and then you need to get out of the way of the military because they know how to do it. We have professionals here who know how to win wars. What we need to do is just have political will on the part of our leadership,
yep,
and then we'll be able to take care of this.
We're joined, as I said, by two of our military analysts. You just heard from Skip Ash, our senior counsel and head of our National Security and Military Law Group. Wes Smith is also retired colonel, United States Army, as was Skip, I should say. But let me go to this on Wes, following up what Skip just said, because I think this is a big issue. And this is the fact that we're not calling it a war. The president's had this position, which I think is clearly shown the fallacy of his entire approach to the Middle East. And I don't hear a lot different from Hillary Clinton. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's talk about engagement here. I mean, how do you, people are asking, Robert asked, how do you engage this?
Yeah. Well, we have to change how we view this war. And the enemy gets to vote whether or not we're in a war. And as long as we inject politics and political correctness into our terror threat assessment,
yep,
when we do that, we hand the terrorist a moral, a psychological, and a paramilitary victory. Basically, we lose. And so the talk from the French president in the White House last night, the statements about how we are united and how we stand together and they want to intimidate us or change how we live. We don't need a cheerleader. We need a commander in chief. And as Skip said, someone who will state the objective clearly and show us how we will fight this war and how we will win. We no longer need a cheerleader.
So when you look at I think it's a very good point. And I don't know if we have any of the sound from President Obama. I think he just actually issued a statement. But let's talk about this. You got, Jordan, 84 people dead, 10 children, 2 Americans. This is a global attack. And, you know, it was in a very much a tourist area. So they're looking,
yeah,
at what's called soft targets.
Yeah.
But the reality is that this is going to be the dominant issue in these political campaigns. You got the Republican National Convention starting Monday.
Yeah, and you go through the list. I mean, it's not just every couple of weeks. It's every few days,
yes,
massive terror attacks. Obviously, when these hit the Western world, specifically, whether it be Orlando or in France or in other European countries, I think that hits home directly, more directly for all of us who are fighting, and whether it's those NATO allies that we talk about or the Western world that we commonly refer to, which includes Western Europe and the United States, places which we have always seen as places to visit, places of relative safety in large crowds, like on a Bastille Day, where we obviously know threats are up.
Yep.
Like we know that here on July 4th, threats are up, security is up. And this is a very large city. This would be this is the top 5 largest cities in France. So this would be a major city in the United States. And again, there are a large population of migrants from and immigrants from North Africa, because,
yep,
of those were former
Tunisia.
French colonies and territories. Most of those countries weren't independent until after World War II, including Tunisia. And you've got a lot of free flow of individuals. They speak,
yep,
French. They've grown up in French culture, so they kind of can move back and forth,
yep,
through North Africa into France. So a bit of a different scale when it comes to individuals and the amount of migration, especially based on the actual population of France, than we deal with even here in the United States.
A father and son from Texas were among those killed, 10 children. The driver has been identified as a 31-year-old Tunisian national who became a French citizen a few years ago. Skip, you look at the situation. We are getting questions about NATO. Let's talk about that. You've got some expertise there. Let's talk about NATO for a moment.
Sure. The North Atlantic Treaty, Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty, clearly states that an attack on one or more of the members of the alliance is considered an attack on every member of the alliance. This is an attack. The first thing they have to establish is whether this attack was motivated from outside of France. If it was, then the NATO-North Atlantic Treaty can trigger and can be activated. If the French request a meeting and request that Article 5, then the members of NATO are obligated to go meet and to decide, and they're obligated to provide what they can to assist the French in handling this situation.
Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, and you know, this year alone, four NATO countries have been attacked by either ISIS-directed, ISIS-inspired groups, the U.S., Belgium, France, and Turkey. So all four of those countries can invoke Article 5. And I think what we need is to understand that the only way that ISIS and ISIS ilk are going to be defeated is if NATO forms an alliance, much like the alliance in World War II, and that we take the fight to them.
Well, that's why we're,
and that NATO leads that fight. I think it's rather naive to think that a mixture of Arab armies are going to defeat ISIS.
I think that's exactly
there's too much
correct.
Conflict between the armies.
I think that's absolutely correct. Than, really quickly here, what is reaction in Washington right now?
Well, I think there's disappointment in the president's leadership. But, Jay, honestly, I'm going to be real candid here. I think Congress needs to step up as well. I mean, clearly there is a primary failure on behalf of the commander-in-chief. But if you look back at the five-point plan that we put out,
we
clearly make the argument that there's a role for Congress to fill here. They can step up. They can either declare war or authorize the use of force. And Jay, and that's going to be important, not just for this president, who many of us may believe does not take this seriously, but the next president is going to step into this threat, and they need to have the tools at their disposal to fight it.
This is an intergenerational conflict. We've talked about that before. But, Jordan, as you look at it coming into the political season, and we are in that political season now, this is going to be issue one.
It has to be. The main issue, because it's not just happening abroad, it's happening in our own country. The threat of these radicalized individuals, they meet similar profiles, age-wise, personality-wise. We hear in this individual in France, you know, the same kind of statements we've heard about a lot of these terrorists, not necessarily a great Muslim by the book, someone who kind of flouted many of the rules of Islam.
Which is the pattern.
But violent, had a violent past, known to attack his wife. So he had the violent past, a little bit, you know, off the mainstream. That's who ISIS and these groups are targeting to carry out these attacks.
All right, we're going to be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110. We'll give you that five-point plan in a minute.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-877-877. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Four dead, two Americans included, a father and son, 10 children in Nice, France. France again under attack. We have an affiliate of the American Center for Law and Justice, the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. Our Director General, Gregor Popunic, is joining us right now from Strasbourg. Gregor, of course, the thoughts and prayers of all of our listening audience go to your fellow countrymen in France. This is a significant problem. Let's talk about the problem in France, Gregor. I think it's very important for people to hear. Again, this gives you kind of the scope, folks, of the ACLJ's global reach here. This is from our office in Strasbourg. Talk to me about the problem that you have in France right now.
Yes, thank you very much, Jay. Yes, France is really facing now its destiny because we have all those attacks coming. But more deeply, we have a deeper problem, which is the fact that there are at least 10,000 Muslims identified living in France, identified as dangerous for the security of the state. More than 10,000 people are able to commit such attacks. We also have in France about 30,000 radical Islamists that are called Salafists,
yep,
which are also already within the ideology of the jihad. So within our own territory, within the own French citizen, among the recent people, you know, who came from immigration,
right,
about 30,000 people who are potential soldiers of jihad are living in France. So this is the main problem for our people, our country, and it is clear that in the next coming years, we will have to face this problem clearly.
Okay, so you talk about the solutions, because one of the things we're talking about, folks, you're going to get both domestic and international solutions. Let's talk about the solution, Gregor, that you've outlined, which I want to turn this into a post for the website. I think this would be very helpful for it, and we'll get it out on social media. You propose, yeah, a solution, and you start with abroad. We need to, and I want you to go into this, defeat them militarily.
Yes, the solutions we have to fight both in our country and abroad. First, abroad, the emergency abroad is to clearly fight and defeat the jihad where it stands, mainly today in Syria and Iraq, but also in Libya and in Nigeria. And everywhere there are such groups of jihadists, we have to go there and to fight them and to defeat them abroad. This is very clear. We should not accept such kind of states, you know, groups, organizations,
yep,
attracting people from all over the world. Then we also have to fight in a different way at home. And at home, we have to secure our own country. I mean, this is the emergency. We live today already since the first Paris attack under a state of emergency.
Gregor, will you explain to the people what, because France has been under the state of emergency since the attack last year, yeah, in Paris. What does that mean?
It means that we don't live anymore under the rule of law, under the state of law. We have laws of exceptions. There is no more respect, full respect of the fundamental freedoms.
Yep.
Police has much more rights, much more possibilities to arrest people, to keep people, yep, under arrest, to... So, I mean, the power of the police are much more important. There are less freedoms and liberties. And in the meantime, we have now in France 10,000 soldiers fully armed in the streets. When you go to church on Sunday, you have the army protecting you around your church or around your, yeah, schools or around your synagogues. So we are really living now under protection of the army, but it's not sufficient because when you have just one single young man living in the neighborhoods,
yep,
Who can rent a truck and commit such attack,
yep,
how can you protect the population from such people?
All right, let me go to Harry Hutchison here because I want to put this on the domestic side. We'll go back to Gregor and Jordan in a moment. We've outlined a five-point plan on what we think we need to do in the U.S. Let's go. I think it's very important for people to hear that we're not just talking about the problem here, that we've got solutions. Gregor just gave an international one I think is right. They're talking about, they have 10,000 armed military protecting churches and schools. I mean, they're taking it, and it's still, you had this horrendous attack. But let's talk about what we've outlined in our five-point plan very quickly.
Jay, as the frequency of these attacks rises, it raises a vitally important question. How many more people must be slaughtered? How many more people must be tortured before we realize that ISIS and other radical Islamic terrorist organizations are at war with us?
Yep.
In response, the ACLJ has outlined a crucial five-point plan to defeat ISIS. First, name the enemy, Islamic jihadists. Second, fix our broken intelligence system. Third, ramp up undercover stings to smoke out jihadists at home. Fourth, authorize military force against ISIS. And fifth, unleash the full military might of the U.S. Army to utterly destroy and eviscerate ISIS.
All right, so let me talk to one about Jordan, then I'm going to go back to Greg Orr. Jordan, we talk about ramping up undercover sting operations. We know that the attack in Orlando, you had mentioned this, Omar Martin, not only was he under investigation by the FBI, he lied to the FBI agents and we let him go.
Yeah, that's right. And so he was someone who had known a terrorist who went overseas, blew themselves up in a suicide attack at a same Islamic prayer center. I don't call it a mosque, not that size. I mean, this is a strip mall prayer center, which had about 100 active male members, all who knew Omar Mateen in Orlando, none who said anything to law enforcement. And so there is a problem inside these communities as well with reporting these individuals. Now, we're hearing about the attacker in France, that he was not so particularly religious in following the tenets of the faith. But we know in Orlando's situation, bizarre people looking for redemption, that they may struggle with Islamic law, especially strict interpretation of Islamic law, and individuals with violent pasts, which these all meet, that they are the ones recruited by these terror groups to carry out these attacks. They're looking for the troubled. They're looking for those who may not fit in, the loners, the people have trouble in their personal life, relationships, or with their families.
Gregor, you put in your bulletin that we're going to condense some of this to a post for those set, that we have to be confident in Western culture and our values. Do not be afraid.
Essential. I mean, our culture, you know, is strong. And one of the reasons why those young people get crazy and commit attacks is because they are desperate in some extent by their own culture. They see that Islam do not stand modernity.
Yep.
And it is a dead end for them. They don't see how they can survive with the modernity as Orthodox Muslims. I mean, there is no room for such belief in a Western modern society.
Yep.
And so they get desperate and they suicide themselves and they try to kill as many people as they can. So in some extent, we have to realize that we are facing a global crisis within Islam because they cannot escape any more modernity.
Yep.
With internet, with TV, they...
Well, they're very effective in using this. So, and I appreciate your comments. Quickly to Harry, we talked about the 5 points, but we don't have any time to lose right now. I mean, this is because the frequency... You and I were talking about this before we went on air. The frequency of this is getting breathtaking.
Absolutely. This is a civilizational struggle between the West and barbarism.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to lose. We must attack. We must respond to this attack head on.
All right. I want to take what you just said, Professor Hutchinson, and what Gregor just said, and have you do a joint. We'll coordinate this afterwards. I think what Gregor has put in writing, what you're talking about, needs to be a post for the website. We'll get it on all social media. We'll give you responses. All right. We're here for another 30 minutes. Multiple ways for you to get it. Logan will be joining us in a moment here. Multiple ways for you to get us, and that is, of course, Facebook, Periscope, as well. Facebook just /JSeculo. Also on Periscope, you can do that as well. And, of course, if you get the full hour of the program, you're in great shape. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more of your calls. We come back. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. As we fight all these issues, we could use your help. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in a moment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, of course, 84 dead, two Americans included in Nice, France, 10 children. The terrorist, Tunisian-born Mohamed Boulel, drove a delivery truck for a living but rented a 19-ton Renault truck that he turned into a literal devastation machine. We talk about improvised explosive devices. We talk about coordinated attack. But here you have one of the biggest casualties by simply using a truck and a handgun. And as simple as it is, Jordan, in another sense, it's very sophisticated.
Yeah, because you've got to, under the radar, take a vehicle like this on the most important day of the French calendar, holiday-wise, specific to France, their Independence Day, Bastille Day. So imagine here, July 4th, you're taking a truck like this as an individual who may have no record at all of renting these kind of vehicles. So you've gotten that. You have the resources to do that. Then you've got to get it through some checkpoints because obviously this is an important day. There are streets shut down. There are a lot of people on the promenade, on the beachfront, on the waterfront to watch the fireworks
for
the independence. Yes, you can't just do this in a few hours. And then you've got to know where you're going to strike, where you're going to get onto a promenade to take this many individual lives with a vehicle like this and be able to get out and then fire shots as well.
Yep. Logan, we've got comments that have
been
coming
in. These are countries, by the way, very difficult to even get firearms like
this. Well, they're saying they came in probably through the refugees. Do we have that bite where it came in through the refugees? Well, if not, let's get it, okay? I mean, some of the experts, even on CNN, other networks, were saying, look, it's the refugee flow is how these weaponry are getting in here is what they thought. Comments, Logan, coming in on second.
Yeah, a lot of comments have been coming in for the whole half hour. This came from Sherry. Said, how many more innocents must die before the administration and Congress declares war on jihad? Those kind of comments coming in. We have the power to do this. We must stop. That was from Scott. And what are our nation's leaders waiting for? That came from Virginia. So all kind of the same sentiment.
Than, I mean, the American people are running out of patience here with the United States Congress too on this.
Yeah.
And working about how do we word this and we word that. We're in a war. These people are taking this war to our allies. We had Skip on talking about NATO. This is real.
Yeah, and I understand why they're running out of patience, Jay. Clearly, we're at war. The question is, when will the United States recognize it? Listen, I listened in that last segment, Jay, as you had three people outline the international front of this. Gregor did that. You had Skip talk about the NATO front. And then you had the domestic part that Harry outlined. You know what's missing in all of those? U.S. leadership.
Yep.
In each of those cases, the United States is not leading. The president is the one that is primarily to blame as the commander-in-chief, but Congress has a role, too. They should be stepping up and authorizing the use of force or declaring war. One of the two. All of them, Jay, need to be called to account on this.
Yeah, we are pushing this very, very aggressively, by the way. So I want people to know that. Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, and it needs to happen now. A lot of people are saying, well, let's wait for the new president. Well, that's 6-7 months from now.
No, they're doing this. This is the problem, Jordan. You and I were talking. The timing of this, did people understand it was months in between attacks before? 6 months in between attacks.
Yeah.
Now it's every other week or every week.
Yeah, massive.
Massive
terror attacks on huge body counts. I mean, you've got such a loss of life. Whether it was last night with 84, that number could go up. And then, you know, in Bangladesh, 20, Turkey, 45 at the airport there. And, I mean, the major international airport, 50 in Orlando and Brussels. You've got the suicide bombings, over 35, 35 killed, over 300 wounded. Those have all just happened. Well, first of all, Orlando, Turkey, Bangladesh, and France were just within the last 32 days. Just in the last 32 days.
Folks, I want you to hear this again.
So Orlando was June 12th. And then in June 28th, you had the Istanbul airport attacks. July 1st, you had the Bangladesh attacks, which also are known for
Americans.
A lot of international, right?
Yep.
And then July 14th. So just between June 12th and July 14th, four major attacks. I mean, the total count of loss of life there is over 200 people.
I mean, this is breathtaking, folks. We're laying this out for you because of the seriousness of it. We gave you the concrete plan. We come back from the break, Logan. We're going to take more calls and
comments.
That's
right. Calls are jammed right now, but I'll open up 1-800-684-3110. Get your feedback in on Facebook and Periscope. We're monitoring that right now.
We're going to also encourage you to do something, and that is we're in a matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ. Support our work as we continue these efforts in Washington, D.C., in Strasbourg, France, in Moscow, Russia, in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, in Africa, in places we don't even mention. We're also in Pakistan. ACLJ.org for that, and you also respond to that email today. Sign the petition now, which includes our five-point plan. We'll get some more information up for you from Harry Hutchison and Greg Worp with Punic in a joint article. I think will be very, very helpful. Back with more in a moment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, by the way, Mike Pence is officially now the VP running mate for Donald Trump. There'll be more on that. We'll talk more about that on Monday. We are concentrating on this attack because I believe that this has taken us into a World War III. This is carnage that's happening. Jordan just outlined in the last segment, it's happening so frequently. Washington fan, very quickly, and we'll get to calls, has been very slow to respond here. Very.
Yeah, when will they admit it? I mean, a frightening number here, Jay. Don't want to admit that we are at war. Republican and Democrat. Yeah. It starts at the president and trickles down. Listen, I would just very quickly argue this. Let's stop arguing about whether or not to call it a war declaration or an authorization of use of force. Let's step up and let's call it a war and let's commit to defeating it.
Yeah, I mean, this is World War III. If we don't end this enemy, okay? Remember what happened in the previous administration? We were fighting them in Syria. We were fighting them in Iraq. We were fighting them in Afghanistan. And guess what we did not have? A lot of fights in Brooklyn or a lot of fights in Orlando or a lot of fights in Boston. But now we do. So the president's policy has failed. We've got to engage that enemy and destroy that enemy. And we got to stop this political correct nonsense of not even being able to call it radical jihadist, which is precisely and exactly what it is. This is a global war on radical jihadism. And if anybody doesn't think so, or politically correct, I don't like calling that, or it's not appropriate, let me tell you something. Wouldn't you call the Nazis the National Socialist Party? Because that sounded better? It's the same death context. And realize they are after Americans as well. French, British, it doesn't matter. It's Western civilization.
Yeah, and to some extent, the world in the past operated to keep these groups out of their territories for the most part in their countries. We were in a world of occupation. We used to be, whether it was France and in North Africa, whether it was the British in the Middle East within the United States, Russia in Afghanistan, then the United States. And so we fought these battles on their turf rather than on our home turf. Yes, that meant significant, sometimes military loss of life, though nothing like we saw in the World Wars or even in the Korean War or Vietnam. Not those that kind of loss of life, but you know, significant. You have to commit the resources, and you can't be, I'd say, wimpy about it. Yeah. I mean, the idea is that, you know, this constant idea of when can we leave, when can we leave? That's the bad mentality.
This could be the 1,000-year war.
Yeah, I mean, you could have to occupy certain zones and territories with international forces for decades.
For decades.
And that alone...
Don't be afraid of that either.
You know, you can't be afraid of that. We can't keep thinking of these battles as, well, we can win this in a year and we can do it all from the air.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, I feel like I've seen this morning specifically how accustomed people have gotten used to this kind of attack. You know, usually the social media's pages would erupt. The morning shows would all change their tone. Sure, it was the leading story of the Today Show, Fox and Friends, and these kind of shows. they weren't afraid to laugh, make jokes, move on, talk about Pence. You know, yeah, there was a joke like Mike Pence sitting around waiting for Hamilton tickets. You know, that was one of the things on today's show.
I saw
everyone's laughing and goofing off. And what I think is odd is that we are becoming like a lot of these other countries, which is true. You see these versions of these morning shows in Israel or these places where this is a regular occurrence, and they have to act that way because this becomes normal life. And that's where I feel like we're on the verge of this, where you start to almost accept this as this is going to happen every week.
Let me tell you, when you accept it, very, very dangerous. Even President Hollande of France, the socialist president of France, realizes that this is a long-term war.
So we are in a fight for the long term because our enemy will continue to hit all the people, all the countries which have liberty at the core of their values.
So there you have it. That's from the socialist president of France. Let's go take some calls.
All right. Yeah, a lot of people have been holding for a while. Michael's calling in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You're on the air.
Michael, go ahead.
Jay, you're absolutely right. And your correspondent in France is absolutely right. You were right to say this is a 1,000-year war.
Yep.
But the Muslims are right to say that it's a struggle. They don't use the word war, and here's why they're right. Because it's a cultural struggle.
Sure.
And your correspondent in France seems to understand that better than any commentators that I hear on the radio here in the United States.
I appreciate you saying that. And by the way, Michael, that's the reason why when he and Professor Hutchinson were talking, I want them to do a joint article on exactly that. Go ahead,
Julie. And it's also what they're living with in France versus here, whereas in the United States, these Islamic communities were much more spread out, larger country, and so we're not dealing with it the same way. In France, in the large urban areas, and Gregor's in one of those, you've got these influx of migration, and you've had it for many decades because of the French activity in North Africa, just across the ocean there. So in places like Nice, obviously, it would not be strange to have these large communities inside your country. And so we don't even have that to an extent on that level. We probably have more by numbers, but because of the size of our country and the way our cities are spread out, it's different. In France, they're dealing with this right on their street corners because of the influx of migration. So when we talk about that issue here, the refugee issue here, we need to look to Europe, because you could have that kind of response. You're talking about this cultural battle happening internally or struggle. You can have that happening in the United States. We're not there yet. We don't have those kind of numbers
yet. But England's got it. France has it.
France has it. The European countries that we have allied ourselves with, they are dealing with the decades of those kind of refugee flows.
Yes, and that is, and the consequences of that you're witnessing in the Strait. Yeah, Germany's got it too. And this was a Tunisian born, became a French national. And then President Obama's talking about, I'm going to get 10,000 in. Hillary Clinton said 1.5 million Syrians to be reallocated to the United States of America. That's in her plan. So take that for what it's worth. All right, Logan.
Yeah, a lot of people are commenting and calling in. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Let's go to Jeremy, who's calling from Colorado Springs.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, Jay. We are absolutely in World War III.
Yep.
There's really no other way to say it. And, you know, the five-point plan I just heard a few minutes ago, that was spot on. But and appropriately, number one was name the enemy and call it what it is.
Right.
Appropriately that is first. I don't think the other four points could be independently acted upon without.
Yeah, you got to name the enemy. And, you know, the president, you know, for the first time, Hillary Clinton actually said a radical jihadist. But even the what? Listen to how she couched this battle. I mean, I think it's very important. We'll play Donald Trump by two. We'll be equal here. But Hillary Clinton, listen to this.
We've got to do more to understand that this is a war against these terrorist groups, the radical jihadist groups. It's a different kind of war. We need to be smart about how we wage it, but we have to be determined that we're going to win it.
Absolutely.
And that's going to require working with other people.
So what does that mean? I mean, that's not saying we're taking it to the enemy. And fan the politics of this, I mean, forget that. This is take this to the enemy. Say, this is a war. Oh, it's a different kind of war. Actually, it's not really a different kind of war. Because if you study world wars, this is what world wars are. There's attacks on the homeland. It may be Pearl Harbor, okay? For the French, it may be Paris, or now Nice. For England, it may be London. For Turkey, it was Istanbul. But these are attacks, and this is global in scope. Fan quickly, and then Jordan.
Jay, it's patently clear what this threat is. We just failed to issue it. Listen, I talked to a congressional office today that said, listen, we can't declare war because it's been 74 years since we've done it.
That's a great
excuse. My response
to
them was, so what?
Right.
Maybe it's about time. Just because it's been 74 years doesn't mean now is not the right time to do it again. So this starts at the top, but it goes all the way down to Congress as well.
That's an absurd, you know, that kind of stuff. We haven't done it in 74 years. Well, why did we do it 74 years ago? What was it that made us do that? Oh, we had a world war. Okay, so there's your precedent. Fortunately, we don't have world wars every 20 years, but, you know, you do get them. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so we have to change our mindset in how we're fighting these battles, these individuals that could be targeted. And Donald Trump, by the way, has called for that declaration of war and says he will call on Congress to call for that declaration of war.
Let me play that. Here, this came out yesterday on Bill O'Reilly.
I believe it's a world war now. We're in a world war scenario. It's no longer just isolated ISIS attacks. Do you agree with that?
I certainly do, and I've been saying it for a long time, and it's out of control, and we don't call it what it is. We have a president that doesn't want to call it what it is, and, you know, you look at World Trade Center, you look at San Bernardino, you look at Paris, 130 people killed and so many injured. You look at Orlando, it's out of control, and Bill, unless we get strong and, you know, really strong and very, very smart leadership, it's only going to get worse.
I do fear that. I mean, it's the sense on Facebook that people, I mean, they're saying they're getting used to it, but I think it gets worse.
I think it does. You know, I talked about this months ago when Donald Trump got the nomination. I said this was a one-issue candidacy and one-issue nomination. And as time has moved on, I feel like that gets clearer and clearer.
Yeah.
I don't think people care about his stance on abortion, care about his stance on any of the social issues. They do care. But mainly they're looking for someone who is going to go and take care of this because this is not the world we've been living in for our entire lives.
Yeah.
And the immigration issue, which is directly tied to the refugee issue. So when you put those together, the terrorism issue and the building the wall and our security at home, it's not just an international issue that we have to send troops for, but what's happening in our own country as well. So the strong leadership France is also dealing with internally. I think you're going to see a wave of elections which will be impacted by this very issue.
I think what you saw happen in Britain with Brexit is symptomatic of what's going to happen in the rest of the world. The question is going to be, for instance, is Holland, does he get replaced by Sarkozy? That's what they're talking about again.
Yeah.
And that's, you go from a socialist to a conservative.
Very possible. And there was heavy criticism from what was also the Republicans in France of the security situation in Nice. Specifically at the national level and the federal level.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break. Again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. You can get comments into Logan on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. We got one line open, 1-800-684-3110. Or again, Facebook and Periscope.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-877-877.
989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Talking during the break to our friends on Facebook and Periscope, and I want to say this to our radio audience as well, that and television and ACLJ.org. You know, Neville Chamberlain did this appeasement approach, and he had a little bit of an excuse. I don't think it was a valid one, and that was his military had been devastated in World War I, so they were still trying to rebuild. Then, you know, 15, 18 years later, they're facing World War II. Well, President Obama has been decimating the military instead of encouraging and increasing the military. So he's created our own problem. And I think the candidates are going to be very clear on where that comes. And that seems to be a lot of the sentiment that's being expressed today. Let's go ahead. We got one last segment here, so we need to really go through these calls.
All right, let's go to Carol, who's calling in California. You've been holding for almost half hour. Thanks a lot, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Sorry, just getting to you.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, is there anything that we can do to stop this 10,000 influx of refugees into America?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, I think that, you know, Congress is trying. The president is committed to doing this. Hillary Clinton says she's going to have, 1.5 million that she wants in? I think, look, you got to hit pause. We don't know who the people are. We can't vet who they are. We don't know where they're coming from. The French are worried about it now. You heard Gregor Papinick from our office. I mean, we need to hit a pause button, and Congress doesn't seem to want to have the guts to do it, but we need to do it.
And not to be heartless at all, but unlike France, these are not former colonies of the United States. These are not – we don't have the same kind of migration and immigration flows and the same occupying history or colonial history. And so and that's what France and the U.K. and also Germany, they're dealing with those histories of occupation and colonization. And so they've got these relationships where they've allowed this free flow of immigrants from these communities for decades. In the United States, we have a choice to make about that. We don't have that same kind of history. And it's a very long trip to make also to resettle here in the United States, which is why we've, you know, focused on the safe zone issue in the regions. We don't want more pressure on Europe. Certainly that's not going to work. But also more pressure here, not just talking about our own poorest borders, but the fact that we'd accept over 1 million people who we have no documentation on.
I mean, which is inexplicable. But I know we got to go through these calls a little bit. But Than, quickly, is there any real movement on this, or do we just need to get aggressive on our five-point plan? We have been aggressive, but even more aggressive.
Well, I think we need to do both, Jay. Listen, when the new fiscal year rolls around in September, Congress should do what Jordan said and authorize that money for those in-region safe zones. It's not sympathetic. In fact, you can provide 12 times the number of refugees safety over there than you can here.
Yep.
Congress should do that now.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Logan, let's go.
All right, let's go to Scott, who's calling in Arlington, Virginia.
Hey, Scott.
Hi. Hey, I was listening to your first caller earlier today.
Yes.
And or earlier in the program, related to what the military can do within the borders of the United States, I was wondering if you could comment for our listeners on what posse comitatus is and what the restrictions are on the active duty compared to the National Guard. Active duty, you know, being under Title 10 and the National Guard.
Yeah, so because of what's called posse comitatus, we don't allow our military to be our police. And that's a fundamental difference of how that works. So our military, like in France, they did that. And they may have, we say they did that, they may have utilized the National Guard approach. I mean, I haven't drilled down on that with Gregor. Did they, in other words, say, we're going to put in our version of National Guard in France, and this way the police are armed and there's military out there? After 9/11, there were military on every, Jordan, you remember, we were in Washington, there was military on every corner. But generally, we don't let the military play the role of the police, and I think that's wise. But we've got to realize we are in a very different struggle right now, and I think everything should be on the table is how we evaluate it.
Yeah, and especially
frankly,
in a country that the size of France, where you've got to sometimes use military force to supplement the police on a day like their Independence Day, when you've got these mass celebrations in the streets, movement of people, fireworks displays, not just in one place, but in all the major cities and smaller cities as well. But Nice being the fifth most populous city in France, you would imagine that security would have been at its highest level possible to prevent this. And so it's hard to imagine, not that someone attempts to carry out an attack. That's not hard to imagine on these days. But it's this devastating.
Yeah,
it's hard to imagine. They could go for a mile and a half down the road, 2 kilometers down the road, and then kill this many people
so
using a vehicle.
Yeah.
And this was someone not on the terror radar, but on the law enforcement radar, was sentenced to a six-month suspended sentence for road rage, actually, for a violent incident that happened while driving.
Yeah, it's horrendous. All right, let's go take another call, Logan.
All right, Julie's calling from Santa Monica, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, both. I have a comment and a question. The comment is 8 years of a president who refuses to protect weaker countries or stand up for the world results in this. And my question is, if we completely obliterated ISIS in Iraq and Syria, which we should have done, there were only 5,000
right.
of them, but would that stop the attacks in the other parts of the world?
It will. It, look, it takes one guy to do this, but when they lose the caliphate, they lose their momentum. That doesn't mean another one's going to come up, but I think we have to engage this like it's the thousand-year war. This is an intergenerational conflict. We need to treat it like an intergenerational conflict. So, yes, if you eliminate the caliphate, that is going to – I can't guarantee it's going to stop it, but they lose their impetus because their momentum, their chief is gone. And that's why al-Qaeda, after the killing of bin Laden – decreased significantly in its scope. I mean, they have. Now they're reforming, but we've got to engage it. We've got to engage it there. Let's grab another call.
All right, Robert, New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Jay, listen, I really appreciate the way you're handling this. And I just want to paint a scenario for you for 30 seconds.
Yep.
You know, I'm listening to everything that all the callers are saying and also yourself. I think we need to proceed with extreme caution only because, you know, we know for a fact that the CIA has had its hand in providing the arms and
here's the thing. If you're talking about the balance of national security and religious and free speech, for instance, I don't think they're incompatible. We've looked at that before. The national security acts that have been passed, Robert, have not infringed on civil liberties.
No, I mean, we've have the right to protest here, to assemble here,
right.
the police, even with the controversy surrounding the race relations in the United States specifically. These issues, they are things we always have domestic issues as well. But when it comes to our security abroad or what's happening internationally and what we can do to prevent, you know, closing down our borders, by the way, is not an infringement on any of our civil rights. It wouldn't stop your ability to travel.
Right.
Wouldn't stop my ability to travel.
Right.
It's for people who don't have a right to be here, their travel. So that again, that's not an infringement on rights to shut down borders and make ourselves less porous.
All right, Logan, let's get these last two calls really quick.
Mike, you're on the air quickly.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi. I'm a veteran, and I've got I'm a Facebook listener as
Sir. Great.
My question is, why have we not heard, and maybe I've just missed it, I don't know, but why have we not heard from all of the Muslims who swear up and down that they're a religion?
You're not hearing from them other than Zudi Jasser and a handful of others. You're not hearing from them, and you're not hearing from them because they're not willing to speak out. And that's, I mean, I don't think we should be politically correct about that anymore either, because that, you're right. You're absolutely right, and thank you for your service. We have the last call here.
Yep, Joni, you're on the air.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Yep.
Yeah, Jay, I was just wondering, I really am happy to hear about your 5-point thing that you got going on.
Yes.
But I wondered, for we the people, can you or somebody, it's hard for us to get hold of Congress and say, please do something.
No, Than, we're working on that now. We're really running out of time here, but Than, tell them quickly what's happening. Yeah.
Talking to him every single day, Jay. Yes, time is of the essence. You should also talk to your member back in the district, but we are talking to them every single day. We've got to get them there.
It's been a great program. I want to thank Gregor Pupinik from our office in Strasbourg, France, Wes Smith and Skip Ash and Harry Hutchison for coming on and giving some really good expertise. We're going to get that article up by Professor Hutchison and by Gregor Pupunik, one article by both of them. I think that will give it a lay out the 5-point plan. We have that up already. Folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget our matching challenge going into the weekend. Pray for these families. Pray for France. Pray for all of us. This is an attack. This is real. Talk to you over the weekend.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.